Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
James is a disciple that tells us to put on Christ. We are to be doers, not just hearers of the word. That we are to live our lives like Jesus. Now in chapter 3 of his epistle, James tells us to put our tongues on the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven. We know that the Bible teaches that what we say, we have. Now that's true power. What we say, we have. Let's just pitch a tent there for a moment. Whatever comes out of our mouth, whatever we say, we truly, truly have. If we say, as I do sometimes, to answer the question, how are you? I say, Peachy King. If I say that, I mean it to be the truth. I mean it to be the thing that God has put in me to say to you. We are taught that our yes should mean yes, and our no should mean yes. No. Sometimes I wonder if people know what no means. What part of N and O don't you get? And yet we stumble as we try to understand what it means to be truthful. The Bible teaches us to be truthful. The Bible teaches us to say what is in our heart. Now we need to remember that out of the mouth comes every evil thing. And that the heart too often is the playground of the devil, because he instills in our heart fear, distrust, anger, lust, selfishness. And yet, we are to speak the truth, because the truth reflects our heart. What truth do we speak? We speak the truth of God's Word. We live the truth of God's Word. James tells us that these things, that lust, selfishness, and fear, and anger, are expressed through our speech. That how we say things determines on how people hear things. And too often we say it with a tone, and people don't hear anything except the tone. Now, he tells us that faith without works is dead. And then we hear from these passages that words are works. Since what you say you have, that means that if you say the right thing that's in God's plan to the right person, then that will come to pass. It means that our words are working to fulfill His intention. James also tells us that our words have consequences. They're either words directed by God, or we speak with the voice of Satan. Let us go before the Lord now in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I am but a man. And the things that I would speak are but those things that are of a man, unless you place in me the things you want us to hear. And so, Father, I ask, as always, that you cast my words out, that the only words that we should hear are words that are directly from you, that your Holy Spirit will speak them to our hearts, that you will speak into the silence as we wait upon you for instructions on what we are to do. Father, may everything we say, everything we do, bring glory and honor to you this day and every day. For you are the one that created us. You are the one that sustains us. You are the one that loves us with a love we cannot even understand. It's an unconditional love. You love us. You want only the best for us. May we rise up and hear those voices and those voices of angels as they speak encouragement to each of us to be what you want us to be. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to read from James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, that we may turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields but salt water and fresh. A teacher's words are very important. Plato said that the teacher and what they teach are the most important things in our culture. They have a deep impression on a young mind. You can take a child a very small child. And you can tell that child that that child may be, at his own choosing, a boy or a girl. You can take a child, no matter what age, and you can drum into him an anti-biblical view of the world. You can tell this child that the Bible no longer is the inspired Word of God. You can say that it is hate speech, because that is what this Bible is in Canada today. You can say anything to diminish the validity of the Bible. You can say that science has all the answers. And the young people will gravitate toward what is repeated over and over and over again in their path in education. Teachers in the early church were highly respected and honored. The role of teacher was significant because the teacher in the early church had control of, or took control of, all the converts, all the new believers. It was his position that he should make each of these young new believers disciples of Jesus Christ. And he had to teach them the ways that they were to go if they were to reach heaven and God's open arms. James was aware of the heavy moral responsibility he had as a teacher of God's Word. He was concerned about false teachers, about teachers who allowed their own opinions to be stressed. But he was more concerned that the people who taught were people of awesome responsibility. He wanted them to have character. He wanted the teachers to be worthy of their hire. He wanted the teachers to love God first. You know, today, many people do not seem to understand the basics of what I and my generation were taught as a young boy. But the Bible was number one. We've taken the Bible out of schools. We've taken prayer out of schools. We tried to take God out of schools. And yet, every time someone takes a test, I believe that they are praying that they'll pass the test. James wants us to use caution to make sure that we live lives that are not hypocritical. That as a teacher of those around us, as a teacher of our children, as a teacher of our children's children, as a teacher of others, we would be doers of the Word. And not merely people who speak the Word. Your communication with your fellow creatures that God has created in His own image are to be communications that form unity, because Jesus wants all of us to be one. He says we're all one in the Spirit of God. We're all one. We're not separated into various tribes. We're all one. And that is the unity that we should create. And yet too often, you remember the story of Babel, the Tower of Babel? Men were building a tower to reach toward heaven. But it wasn't according to God's plan. It wasn't according to God's plan. They were doing a good thing, they thought, but they were not doing it according to God's plan. And so God came down and confused their speech, and they failed to communicate, and the tower fell. That is what happens when we are not in alignment with God. All of our words fail. They fall. They fall as surely as the sun comes up in the morning. There's a story that tells us that our speech, if it is not in agreement with God's plan, is flawed and will fail. That's the reason I ask God publicly every time I stand here that His words will be heard and not mine. It is the reason we want to be a part of God's plan and we want to speak God's words in truth and in love. We want to do that. And yet our tongues are sinful things. It can and often does turn away people that God wants inside His kingdom. Our tone, the way we say things, can turn people away so that they don't come to fruition in God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit's voice always points to Jesus. He always speaks the truth in holiness because the Holy Spirit is hope. Man's tongue is powerful. It's small, but it's powerful. It amazes us that something as small as a bit can change the course of a major horse's desire to go in this direction or that direction. A little tiny bit in the mouth allows that horse to be turned one way or the other and go wherever God wants him to go or wherever you want him to go. If our tongue is out of control, is out of the hands of God, then our whole life goes in the wrong direction. The rudder of a ship, he says, is small compared to size of the ship, and yet it determines the course of the ship. And so it is that the control of God over our lives sends us in the right direction as opposed to the wrong direction. Your life is safe in the hands of God. Your life will not shipwreck upon the shore. Your life will know which way to go as long as you are in God's perfect plan and you do God's perfect things. Every word and every emotion is controlled by God. Then you're okay. You're fine. But if you're not submitted to God, if you will not allow Him to have control, you're going to go in the direction that is the wrong direction, away from God and away from success in this life. James wants us to live out our faith. He wants us to be submitted to God's will, to use our speech wisely. Because an uncontrolled tongue can cause greater than a fire. An uncontrolled tongue is a force of nature. It can absolutely turn us away from the things of God. It can spill out. It spills out of our mouths and destroys our hope, destroys our faith, destroys our relationships with brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and even strangers. It is a mighty force of evil when it is not controlled by God. It can be used by God as an example of His grace, of His mercy, of His forgiveness. Or it can be used by Satan for his purposes. There was a rabbi. There was a good rabbi. He was living in a very poor area of Siberia. And he was living more or less hand to mouth because his congregants were not rich people. And so he was living there. But there was in one woman a kind of desire to bring him down. And she saw him one day picking a piece of fruit up from a stand and taking it with him. And so she watched. And the next day he came and he picked up a carrot. He stuck it in his pocket, walked home. Every day she saw him do that. And so she spread the rumor that the rabbi was a thief, that the man that they looked to was a thief. And so she decided to follow him one day. He didn't have many hours off, but on one occasion he had some time, and she followed him out through the forest, through the snow, where he was seen by her chopping wood. And he chopped wood for about an hour and a half, and then he took the wood that he had chopped inside this small shack, this hovel, this place of no particular worth. And soon she saw smoke coming out of the chimney. And so she crept up to the little house, and she peeked into the windows, and she saw the rabbi there. And the rabbi was there with a crippled child. And he was teaching this child everything the child should know in order to have his bar mitzvah. And so he was teaching him the words of God. He was asking the child to repeat after him these words so he could answer the questions when he was at his bar mitzvah. The woman went back, somewhat confused. And he came back. The rabbi walked past the little cart that had the fruit and vegetables, and he picked up an apple and put it in his pocket. He walked on home. And the woman put two and two together. She realized that the person who she had accused this rabbi of stealing from had very little. And she had seen the rabbi go to the house and chop wood and look after a child who was crippled. She was trying to put two and two together. And so she came into the rabbi's office and she said, "Rabbi, why do you do what you do? I watched you the other day. You went through the forest. You went into the snow. You chopped wood for an hour and a half. You went in and took the wood and started a fire. And by the heat of that fire, you taught a young person the Word of God. And then you went by and you took from a cart food. And I have told everybody that you're a thief, that you take apples and cabbages and onions and carrots." She said, "What were you doing?" He said, "Well, you see, the person that I go to see in that little house that you talked to me about and where you followed me is too poor to have his child educated for his bar mitzvah. And so he has told me any time I go past his cart to take something from the cart. And I do." And the woman felt bad, and she felt suddenly shocked, because what she had told people was that the man who she considered her rabbi, who was supposed to be a good man, she had thought the worst of. And she had spread that rumor. And so she broke down and she said, "What can I do? What can I do?" He said, well, you see this feather pillow? She said, yes. He said, take this feather pillow. Take it out to the ridge that runs along the valley and dump all the feathers in the pillow out into the wind and then bring the pillowcase back to me empty. She did what she was told. And she comes back and she says, now I have done what you have told me to do. He said, now go and find every single feather and put it back in the pillowcase, because that's what you've done to my reputation. You see, the story of gossip, of using our tongue badly, of judging another person, destroys the reputation of that person. It's something that we cannot repair. No matter how many times we go back and say we are wrong, and by the way, the one that tells you you're wrong is not yourself. It is Almighty God. He is the arbiter. He is the only one able to judge. Not you yourself. But God alone is able to judge. You have to surrender to God. Because no man can tame the tongue, only God can tame the tongue. Rabbi's story is filled with good intentions. We just like to think the worst of people. And yet, we don't intend to do harm. We just allow the falsehoods because we have offended by the tone of what was said. We don't forgive. We don't turn the other cheek. We don't follow the commands of God. We don't live like Jesus did, with respect for every human being, because they were made in the image of God. We judge. My father told me that we shouldn't judge another man until we had walked a mile in his moccasins. He told me that because my great-grandmother was full-blooded Apache Indian. It meant something to me. Maybe it doesn't mean anything to you. But what he was trying to say to me was, do not judge others, because you don't know what you would do in their place, in their circumstance. We allow ourselves to think the worst of people because it makes us feel good about ourselves. We like to think the worst of people. But God thinks only the best of people. He looks only to encourage us, to love us, to show us and pour out His abundance on us. He is not a wicked God. He is a loving God, who cares about us and who wants us to follow His Son's Jesus' example. The tongue is tamed only by God's presence in our lives. It is something that comes from God and God alone. He is allowed, therefore, to govern like a rudder our lives. We need to have Him rudder us into heaven, because we'll never get there on our own. There is nothing in us that is good enough, that is kind enough, that is gentle enough, except the Holy Spirit who God gives us. We could not enter into heaven. We couldn't buy our way in. We couldn't work our way in. Only God can receive us into His blessing. The tongue allows itself to be a tool of blessings and cursings. The highest speech that we can attain to is the praise of God. You have heard it said that we should say loving things to people. We should help people. by saying encouraging things to people. We should, because the tongue has the power to make or break a life. We should say good things to people. There's a potential in all of us to be a sinner or a saint. That truth is given witness by our tongues. With the tongue, we can bless God and bless people, or we can curse God and curse people. One of the most difficult tasks we face is to surrender, to show the white flag. We don't like to do that. But that's exactly what God wants from us. He wants us to wave the white flag, to surrender to Him, to lay down arms, to do anything we can do to show our subservience and submission to Him. We need to surrender to God. We allow God to rule and reign in our lives. Our tongues will follow. Our tongues will follow in the right direction. Like a bit put into a horse's mouth, we will follow Him in the direction that He would have us go. The tongue can be used in many ways. Too often we say we should bite our tongue because we're about to say something or have said something that disgusts even our heart. If our heart and minds and lives are controlled by God, you'll never have to bite your tongue again. Because God alone can tame your tongue.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.